So anyway, I'm trying to present this idea. I've made these TV shows, and I got my book coming out soon. And another idea I had, I've been mulling over starting a local group and exactly how to do it. Kind of the idea came to me is to kind of do it by the party plan, the way Curtis used to sell pots and pans. You ever go to one of those pots and pans meetings? He used to be a champion salesman, pots and pans, and had these meetings where he cooks everybody a meal in this waterless cookware, and it tasted so good that, you know, usually sold a couple of sets, you know, and then somebody who bought them would hold another party. Well, we could do, that's one idea I was thinking of doing this on the party plan. Find somebody interested in this idea. He holds a party, and I go speak at it, and we have maybe 20 couples there, or 20, 40 people or whatever, and then somebody else who's enthused holds another party, and we keep that going, and then I duplicate myself, find other people capable of, you know, motivating people, and then spread this. Now, you guys, anyone that wants to take up the banner in their local area can do the same thing. Watch, read everything I've written on it, and then promote it. But anyway, that was one idea that I had in mind. Another idea is just to start holding meetings and invite people to it and see if it grows. And once we get, you know, a handful of really good local people, then we can start looking for a politician to commit himself and then start raising funds to finance a molecular politician's election. And once one person gets in that's committed to the molecular politics, just one person, it's going to get national media attention. People are going to say, is this the new type of politics or something like this? I can just see the headline now. And once people get a gist that they can take charge and make their will felt on Congress, then I believe there's going to be a revolution in this country, that a lot of people will rise up that's never done anything, never even marched in a tea party, and they will want to take charge and set this government in order. So the first thing, and the most pressing thing, is this overspending, because almost everybody realizes, even the most liberal person, well, maybe not the most liberal, but many liberal people understand that you can't overspend forever. Sooner or later, we got to tighten the reins. If we as a family cannot live unlimitedly on credit cards and then get more credit cards and then get more credit cards, we can't do that forever. Well, our government can't do it forever either. Remember what happened to the Weimar Republic in Germany. They used to take a wheelbarrow of money to the grocery store just to buy a loaf of bread. And when they got paid, they had to go shopping immediately after they got paid, because if they waited a few hours, their money would be worth less. That's how the inflation got so bad in Germany that their money was devalued daily. I think the last bills they had was worth like a trillion marks or something like that. They had the largest bill ever printed in history.
Zimbabwe has, I don't know if it's a trillion, but I know they have billion-dollar bills.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Nobody will take them, though. Nobody anywhere will take them. So they're all digging. They're all down at the mine tailings from the old mines, digging.
Now the Confederacy.
To get some bread.
The Confederacy had a similar problem, but the great part about that is the Confederate bills are now collector's items, so they're actually worth some money now. Yeah, Bill?
I was telling Sharon last night that I heard on ABC News, Diane Sawyer, that Congress has turned the ATM machine off.
All over the country?
They have turned...
Oh, do you mean the ATM machine off as far as loaning?
Printing
money?
They're stopping the national debt from going any lower.
Really?
That's what I heard on ABC News, Diane Sawyer.
Wow, when did you hear that?
Last night.
Well, I'll have to check the internet for that. Sounds interesting.
Sure about it.
You said any lower? Did you mean any higher?
Well, they're not allowing Obama. For instance, he wanted $60 million or $1 billion for teachers.
Believe me, it's not million. It's always at least billion.
Or trillion, whatever.
It's billion or trillion when Obama's speaks.
He wanted $60-something billion for teachers around the country, and they turned it down.
Yeah, I think the only money the government should give help with is unemployment.
They didn't extend it.
They didn't? Well, I feel sorry for the people then. That's one thing that is helping people is unemployment insurance. But a lot of this stuff, you know, just insisting that all government employees not sacrifice at all, whereas people getting unemployment and halfway starving to death do have to sacrifice. That's silly, you know. Yeah.
So, jeez. I thought a lot about this because I think molecular politics is this really cool idea, and I was even thinking, hey, maybe I can have some influence on it, you know, and because I'm a website designer, I'm kind of connected in that industry, you know. One challenge that I see, and I have a question about this, is people are so polarized right now with their party that what would prevent all of a sudden if a molecular politics thing, you know, site or something was created, and they picked a candidate and this. Then all of a sudden, the Democrats go, well, we're going to make our own, and we're going to pick our own candidate, just like the kings in the Book of Mormon battles, you know.
And well, see, if they pick a candidate that is going to vote according to the will of the people, who cares?
But what if it's just according to the will of their group that's on there, that's Democratic, and then a Republican one forms?
Well, everybody will smell through that. What we all want is the will of everybody. It doesn't matter what party. So if it doesn't matter if a Republican or a Democrat gets in. If a Democrat gets in and he commits to it, then if it's some type of Republican proposal and the co-legislators vote yes, he has to vote yes. Because if a Republican gets in and a Democratic proposal comes forth, the co-legislators vote for it, then he has to vote for it. So.
My question really is, if a group, if this was created, a system, a website, whatever, where the co-legislators for a specific, I guess, geographic area that were registered voters in that area could voice their will or vote on issues, I guess, in this system, what would prevent polarization from happening, which tends to happen in any environment, to where maybe mostly Republicans go into the system and then the Democrats say, that's the Republican system, that's Fox News, we're going to go and make our own CNN.
Well, it wouldn't be like it, though. If they made their own where only Democrats could vote in it, that's not the will of the people. It has to be both parties involved. And maybe one party will be more enthused than another because one party maybe represents the will of the people more than the other party. Now, both parties think that they're the ones that represent the will of the people. So if this is implemented, well, we'll find out which party is right, which party really does represent the will of the people. Yeah, Blaine.
One of the concerns that I have is about 95 to 98% of everything that Congress votes on is completely outside their scope that's laid out in the Constitution. And so how, and maybe you address this, I don't know, how do you... I want to see what's voted on limited, and that was one of the original main intentions of a republic in the Constitution was to limit what the government.
So you're saying that a lot of the bills are unconstitutional?
Well, yeah, but to go further than that, you know, like Congress, in my opinion, doesn't have any right to vote on a bill that tells me I got to wear a seatbelt, or what kind of health care I got to buy, or what kind of plant I grow in my backyard.
Well, we can tackle that next. See, we have to do one step at a time.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't know if you address that or not.
Right, and once we're successful in one step, then we can say, well, what can we do next? And then we'll have a lot more power for the next step once we implement a successful first step.
But
the first step, if we can do nothing but get the spending down, that will be a tremendous accomplishment, because that's one thing the average people understand is we need to limit our spending.
We can't
overspend for. If we can just do that and nothing else, then we can survive as a country economically at least, and then we can take a second breath and say, well, what can we work on next? But, you know, there's lots of other things too. But in my mind, this the economy is super important.
Well, I think the media has brainwashed the majority of the people to believe that Congress has a right to vote on every aspect of your life. And they
to a degree. But let me tell you who's really going to be enthused about this. It won't be the strong Republicans or Democrats, but it'll be those type of people that originally, were enthused about Ross Perot. Remember when Ross Perot came forward? And he kept saying, look, you know, I'm going to listen to the people and give them what they want. And the people felt that Ross Perot was actually going to listen to them. But Ross Perot, what he did, he said he was going to listen to them, then he did everything his way. So he didn't really do that, but he made the people think he was going to do that. And so a tremendous constituency surfaced that was really going to move him into office. And I think he could have been elected president if he wouldn't have acted like he went insane in the middle of his...
Who was his running mate? Wasn't he some wacky guy, too?
No, yeah. Some former
admiral. I can't remember.
Some former admiral. I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, he was kind of a nebulous guy.
He was in charge.
But,
he was. But
see, he withdrew. He ran, and it looked like he may actually get elected, but then he withdrew because he said there was some conspiracy after him, and it made him look like a kook. And then he still got, close to 20% of the vote or something. But I think he could have won a three-way race if he would have continued to be logical. I think he could have actually won. But he appealed to a group that's never been appealed to before. The people who were enthused about him were not really polarized one way or another. But they kind of people in the vast middle.
I think he really was threatened. They saw that he could win.
Yeah, he could have been. I don't know. But it made him look kind of screwy. You know, he claimed that Bush was after him or something and going to kill him, and so he withdrew. And then he jumped back in, and then he didn't have any credibility. But he, initially, even I thought, you know, the guy sounds really pretty good. I thought, almost too good to be true. And, you know, he did turn out to be too good to be true, even though there's nothing too good to be true.
What can you expect from a guy? And how could he be what he pretended to be when his entire fortune came from his contacts inside the federal government?
Yeah.
His company would have never been anything. He would have never been anything except for his contacts in the federal government led to all their business. Was in these huge, major mainframe contracts from the federal government. I mean, I personally don't believe that. You know, I think he was a spoiler.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a red flag. But as I studied him, kind of a red flag went up with me when I noticed he kept saying he was going to listen to the people, and he acted like he was listening, but in the things he actually did, it was as if he was completely ignoring the people. But, you know, I noticed this. Is sometimes if you just tell the people you're listening, even though you aren't listening, they'll think you're listening. This kind of happened with Ross Perot. He told him he was listening, but he just went ahead and did things his way, and I think he would have been that way as president. He would have insisted he was listening when he wasn't listening at all. We're probably lucky he didn't get elected. Yeah.
You're saying that the representative works with these co-legislators,
mm-hmm.
which are the people.
Right.
So why should it be connected to any party?
It's not.
It's not.
It's not. However, everybody's connected to a party now. Eventually, the parties would be meaningless if this took off. Because it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. But initially, they would be Democrat or Republican because that's what we're used to.
It doesn't matter now. So what the hell?